starting with verses 1 through 11. Before I get started, I got to tell one Daniel Scully story. So this is it. So every Friday when I was in Fairbanks, I'm the chaplain for the school, and I had a blessing, a joy to minister to the kids, and then it was everybody, and then we split it up on one day. So we had little kids one day, and then the teenagers, junior high, one day. So this Thursday I go in, and I have all my material ready, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. We've sing a couple praise songs, and Daniel Scully comes up to me, teenager, maybe 16, 17, and he comes up to me, Pastor JR, God's placed something on my heart that I need to share. I'm like, okay. And, he goes, no, today, like right now. I'm like, oh. And so I'm like, who's this kid, this is my time. And he's like barging in on my time. This is my time to speak. And he's like coming out to me like, hey, God's placed something on my heart, and I just feel like I really need to share this. And so then it was on me, right? I'm like, do I let this kid speak? Even though, you've got stuff that's prepared, I let this kid speak? But he did say God gave him something that he needs to share. So who am I? I'm like, go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead. And what he shared, I don't even remember the material that he shared, but it was obviously from God. God anointed. And I think both of us are better for me being obedient to when God says, hey, step aside. There's somebody else I want to speak today. And he had an anointed word. And so I'll never forget that. I always give him a hard time whenever I see him. I'm like, yeah, does God give me something else, Daniel, before I get ready to preach? He goes, no. But just a great young man serving the Lord. You'd have to meet him. I can't describe his heart. It's big heart. Anyway, all right. John, staying connected. That's today. All right, we need to stay connected. And so, I need to quit playing with my. I'm looking for my glasses. They're in my hand. If I leave them on my face, maybe I'd be. All right, I'm gonna get serious. Okay. All right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it will bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But this, my Father, is by this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be filled. Heavenly Father, this morning we come here to worship you and praise you, for you're an awesome God. And Father, we thank you for how you have blessed each and every one of us this morning. As I said, you've extended life for some. You've blessed some with employment. You've spoken into marriages this week, Father. You've spoken into, you've been there for people who have been traveling up and down the highway, back and forth to Fairbanks. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the women who met at Victory Bible for a retreat. But I pray that they are just blessed, blessed beyond measure. We thank you for this day. Let me be a vessel that pours out nothing but of you. In your name I pray. Amen. Have you ever been in this situation where, like, you're moving your computer around in your house or in your office, and you get it set up, and then you go to print, and then nothing happens? You know what I mean? Nothing happens. And then you get something that says that really the computer, like, really kind of beats you up. It says, your printer is not responding. Duh, I know that already. All right, so. Says, make sure your power cable is plugged in and the printer is connected, all right? That seems like the basic of things to do, right? Or how about this? You know, every year, you know, the family goes out camping. You know, Alaskans are good for this, but, you know, usually it's a dad, like, we're going to go out camping and we're just going to live off the land type of thing. No electronics and all of that, and, you know. You know, after a couple of days of not being plugged in, people are like, okay, they're tapping out saying, enough of this. And just like the computer, and with us, we seems like we need to be connected. Sometimes we're not plugged in the way we need to be. And in this message today, in this word today, it's basically speaking to being connected. Speaking of, I am the vine and you are the branches. We've got to be connected that way. So, a couple things. We're going to go over this right quickly this morning, I think. We'll see. So, if you will, open up your Bible again. We're going to look at how to remain in Christ. We must draw on his life. When we see that first four verses there in that text there, says, abide in me. Some texts say, remain in me. Abide is old school kind of, but remain in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. In all this, Christ is telling you and telling me that we need to draw from him for that life support to be connected. If we're to have life full, then we need to be connected to the source. And the source is him. You must remain in him. You must have connectivity with him. There's two invitations that we see in this text. One, it says, come to me and remain to me. Lost people in the world are separated from God and are trying to find life. People are saying, I'm lost. Where do I go? What do I do? And Jesus is saying, here in this text, come to me. Come to me. To people who come to Christ and find him, Jesus says, remain in me. You found me, now stay with me. Hang with me for a minute, all right? Stay with me. What motivates you? What keeps you going? What keeps you excited? I mean, I'm speaking in and working for him, working for Jesus, being one of his kids, being one of his servants. What motivates you? What drives you? Maybe it's like leading kids. Maybe it's leading youth. Maybe it's, you know, I get really jazzed if I'm up here worshiping, or I'm playing on the keyboards, or I'm playing with the sound. And maybe just being at your work job and being a servant there, that should excite you, saying, okay, yeah, I'm here, but I'm part of the one who gives me the source to keep on doing what I'm doing. He gives me life. And what you live, the way that you live will determine what you live for. So it does no good if, and I've spoken about this before, but it does no good to walk around with God's word under your arm, and that's all you do. It's just a showpiece. Or I remember, not that it ever happened in my household, but I've heard of it happening. Oh, the pastor's here. Pull out the Bible. That's that thing. That's what pastors used to be able to visit, you know, at the knock on the door, right? Oh, geez, the pastor just rolled up. Pull out the Bible. Where is it? You left it in the car. But the thing is that if you say you believe in Christ and that he is your source, but your relationship doesn't manifest that, if you have a relationship with him, then your life is going to show it. You have no relationship with him. You say you don't have time for him. If you don't have time for him, then maybe you don't have time for your family, your kids. Your energy is used for something other than to bring him glory. I'm telling you, when your efforts are for bringing him glory, things fall in place. When you put him first, bringing him the glory, everything falls into place. That doesn't mean that you need to neglect your family either, okay? All right, let me just say that. Give him glory, but don't forget about your family. My bride, she reminded me of that one time. She said, you know what? I'm a ministry too, okay? I'm a ministry too. You've got to remember that he is your source. Jesus Christ is the only true sufficient source. Jesus Christ himself gives us life and all things we need for fullness. We read in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness, though the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He's all we need. There's nothing better than him. There's nothing else that comes close that will give you the source that will give you life. Nothing else. Nothing comes close. He gives perfect love and forgiveness. You think you have your love is perfect, but it's just a little tainted, all right, in comparison to the love that he offers, the love that he gives, and forgiveness he gives. He doesn't go like, well, I want to forgive them. You know how we do. I want to forgive them. We say we do, but there's just a little bit of something there that has not let go. That's not the way Jesus rolls. That's not the way our Heavenly Father rolls. He says, I forgive you. That's it. That's it. I forgive you. And you're forgiven. Secondly, to remain in Christ, we must delight in his word. It says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. What does it mean to abide, or what does it mean to remain? The Greek word translated, it says to stay in a certain place and be at home there. All right, I think the key word is at home there, all right? Because that makes a difference when you feel at home. It's one thing to be there, but when you're at home, you're comfortable, right? I remain there in home. Christ says, if you're going to remain with me and draw life from me, then my words are going to have to find a home in you, a home in your heart. Remaining in his word, Christ himself is speaking to you and through his word. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all his wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When you're reading his word, there's that joy that's in you. And his word, it gives you strength. There's that psalm that comes from Nehemiah 8. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe you sang that before. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you read God's word, you go on that next course. It says, he gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me laughter. He gives me laughter. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Reading God's word does that. It gives you that. And if it doesn't give you that, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Because when I read God's word, it does that for me. And sometimes, maybe it's a translation. Sometimes it's a translation. Some people, they can't read King James, right? And I'm just saying, some people can't read King James, right? But maybe people can read the New Living, the NLT, right? Like, oh, now that's enjoyable. Or even reading it from Eugene Peterson's The Message, right? I just heard a woman, I just remember a woman say, I just can't get into the Bible. Pastor JR, I can't do it. I can't. I'm just like, eh. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you're that honest with me, you know. And so I said, well, try this. She started reading a different version, and she lit up like a Christmas tree. She's like, oh, yeah. Responding, it's not just one thing to just read his word, but to respond to his word. What are the thoughts and ideas that are at home in your mind and in your heart? And unless your heart is filled with the thoughts of truth and words of Christ, all kinds of things will fill it up, right? And so, I finally get to use this before I... So, if you only have this much of God's word in you, you've got all this space right here where Satan can grab a hold of you, right? He's like, look at all that space, all right? So then, all right, so what God's word is saying is like, okay. Ah, okay, so that's that much more space that all other things in the world can't get in. But do you see that? There's still a little bit. The custodian's looking at me, oh, you're cleaning that up.
But do you get my point? When you're full to the brim in His Word, nothing else can fit.
Amen. All right, so, because I'm going to spell that more. All right. It's water. I'm just trying to make a point. When you're filled up to here with Him, there's nothing else that can be there. So get full. Get full. To remain in Christ, we must depend on His love. Verse 9. God reveals two things in this incredible measure of His love He has for us. First, the measure of Christ's love. We just celebrated that last week, right? With Resurrection Sunday, up from the grave He arose. He died on the cross for us. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, Jesus is speaking here, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. And this Christ, the means of Christ's love, it says, now abide in my love. Don't let anything shake you up. Don't let anything shake you up. Don't let anything seduce you. Don't let anything chase you. Don't let anything drag you away from my love. Hang on to me. He's saying, hang on to me. Hang on to Him. He's not going to let go. Last point. And it says, to remain in Christ, we must do as He says. Verse 10 and 11 reads, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be filled, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. There's something about being obedient to His commands. And I some people are like, oh, commands. All right. So there's not a parent here that will disagree that when you see your kid out in public and they do something like what you taught them, and you wondered whether they got it or not, and then all of a sudden they do something, so you're just like, wow, they did what I told them to do. And I didn't have to bug them. They just did it. Because I told them that was the right thing to do. The right thing to do, a command, however you want to phrase it. But as a parent, you're like, yeah, that's my kid. Man, they got it. They really exercised what I taught them to do. That's the same with our Heavenly Father. He's saying, obey my commands. Obey my directions. Obey my principles. And when we do it, it's just like a kid when you come home with that paper and it gets put on the refrigerator. Your obedience tests your faithfulness. When you're obedient to Him, He's like, okay. I know that's not kids, it's adults too. But He's like saying, I want you to follow what I told you to do. Be obedient. Do what I ask you to do. Get in my word. Get next to me. Abide in me. Remain in me. If you hang with me, I'll hang with you. If you remain in Christ, you will draw on His life, rely on His words, depend on His love, and do what He says. You will draw on the depth of His life, delight in the breadth of His words, depend on the height of His love, and go the lengths of His commands. When you do those things, you will bear much fruit. Father God, we thank You for this day and for Your word. And I pray that we would gravitate to You, that we would be the vine. We cannot bear good fruit on our own. We can't live the life that You intended us to live if we are not connected to You. And if we're not connected to You, our life quickly becomes dismal. Oh, it may be fine for a while. It might be good for a season, but a time will come Father, You've always been there for us. You'll always be there for us. And I pray that for those who don't know You, that they come to know You, that they accept You as a friend, as their Lord and Savior, that all one would have to do is just say, I surrender. I give up on trying to do things my way. I've sinned. I confess. Have Thine own way, Lord. In Your name I pray. Amen.